Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
As I sat in the emergency room on Thursday night, the night that I first went to the doctor, they sent me right to the emergency room and said, you need to have that looked at more. I sat out there for, I think it was about 2 to 3 hours because of the backup in there. And I can't explain the pain that I have, only this. This is the only way I can effectively explain it because this best explains it. If you were to take one of your digits and you had a forge that you put metal in for sword making or knife making that is, you know, whatever, 2,000 degrees, and you were able to take that one digit and place it in a furnace, unable to move it or take it out, that's what it felt like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, until they knocked me out on Thursday at 11 o'clock. It was an absolute consuming pain. It was not throbbing, as you might think. By the way, throbbing means you're getting blood there. When things stop throbbing and you have what feels like a body part in a fire, that tells you you're in trouble. And that's what I had. And it was, there's no words for it. And I sat in the emergency room and commented to the person with me. I said, you know, I think I have an ounce of just nothing, a very minute hair of an understanding of what hell might be like. And I said, I cannot imagine what it would be if anything other than this one finger right now felt like. I was losing my mind. I don't remember much about those 6 days. It hurt so horribly. It was so consuming and so agonizing that it literally made my mind unable to process. And I don't remember a ton about what happened over those days, only that I kept continually saying something is really, really wrong. I was struggling with the element of hope. I will not lie to you. I was really struggling with it. Because when you're standing in a sea of people and no one will hear your screams for help, in essence, that's a rather hopeless situation. And as I then equated and said, God, are you trying to help me understand in a semblance, a hair of an understanding of what hell is so that I can better effectively share that with people? Because I will tell you, church, if I wasn't a Christian, I can assure you, of course, I wouldn't have been here, but y'all, the people in my life would have buried me 3 weeks ago. I promise you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, no question. I'm here because of the prayers and because I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And I have true hope. I have a hope that a God that I live for and serve and honor and came to faith in Jesus Christ through, I know that this isn't the end for me. I know that to be absent from the body one day is to be present with the Lord. See, I am fully aware and understand that. That is not just, well, we'll see what happens. I sure hope it works out. No, I know that. Without question today. So I have that hope. But then I began to think, as I thought about this pain, I cannot imagine a place, by the way, that's just the burning feeling. That isn't the agony of the hopeless reality that, as the rich man experienced in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, he was in torment. He got there. It was, in essence, he was still in the welcome room and he was crying out and said, I am in agony. I was in agony, but it was only my thumb. My thumb was cold and black. It was dying. It was agony as my thumb is saying to me, you need to do something. There's a real problem here. Rich man crying out, dip your finger, please, right? Let Lazarus dip his finger, touch the tip of my tongue. I am in agony. And of course, nothing could be done for him. And as I thought about that, I'm like, God, I can't even imagine But yet the world, as we're watching all around us, what's happening, more and more Christianity is just dying all over the place. Churches are shutting. Parents who were once hardcore followers of Christ have raised children who now, in many cases, are either semi-godly or godless at best. All over the place, and you sit there and you go, what's wrong? It's like the world's asleep in the light. As I sit in the hospital room wishing I could be here, as I think of people who were sleeping in that day because, well, I've just got other things going on. I'm busy. I've got more important things to do. More important things than what? Worshiping a God that sent his son Jesus to die for us, to not for the not going to hell reason. No, because we can live in him. We have hope in him. The hope that is forever alive because of what Jesus did. I'm here today because of the hope of Christ Jesus and the knowledge that my life has meaning. I have a reason to live, to breathe, and have my being. And I am well aware that someone doesn't want that. And I know who that is. It's the enemy. His name is Satan, the devil. I don't want to give many more credence, but I want you to know the scripture says he desires to steal, kill, and destroy, but Christ came that we might have life. And I know as I laid there, he wanted me to despair. He wanted me to think that life was no longer worth living and that my situation now, because of no one listening, no one, that all I should do is despair, be done. You all know that happened this year in our family. Don't think about the ramifications of that in the mothers and fathers and cousins and brothers and sisters and the havoc that it reaps throughout generations of people. You struggle with the hopeless feeling that life would be better, the world would be a better place without you. Talk to me, talk to someone, let me get you to someone. Because you don't realize that that brief moment of hopelessness in your life can transform your family in a bad way. It can ruin your children, it can ruin your mother, your father, and those who are left to pick up the pieces and say, if only I could have. And they fill in the blank with thinking that this act or paying attention to something would have helped. When in reality, when a person makes up their mind most often to do that, they actually look like they're doing better before that happens, so you know. I know that from policing, but we also reiterated that in nursing school. This morning, church, there's hope. There's hope. I battled what hopelessness was. I know what that feeling is. I know what the moment is when hours can seem like years. I know it. I've been once again reminded of it, as if I was not reminded enough in July or August of 2007 as meningitis was wreaking havoc through my body. And then at this facility, I was once again getting the antibiotic in large quantities that I had had at that point as my body was further weakened by this. And the medicine they gave me wasn't effective for treating what I had, so I only got worse. And as you get weaker and weaker, you begin to go, I'm losing my mind. But see, all the while having the hope of recognizing that God is still sovereign, he's still in control. God allows these things to happen to us. Oh, well, you mean God allows bad things to happen to God's people? Yes. You know, James chapter 1, consider it pure joy when what? You face trials of many or diverse, as some versions say, kinds. See, we're followers of Christ and everything has a purpose and a reason in our life. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love you and are called according to your purpose. Now, after I get done and I have to put all this stuff in my body again and it makes my brain hurt and it makes me feel really sick, and my blood pressure the rest of the day is going to be a battle until I finally get it leveled out. And then what happens? Oh, when I leave tonight, I go do that again on the way home. And it all is just like Groundhog Day in a sense of this perpetual feeling of very sick and then this battle of feeling very sick from the blood pressure, then back to a little bit normalized, right, when I jump off the cliff again. God, how can that be used in a good way for something? See, we're not the master artist. We're not the painter. We're not the sculptor. God is. See, it's His finished work that He sees that we don't see. We can't see. We just look at the painting as Bob Ross starts and go, this guy's, what, good gracious. And as you keep watching, if you remember who Bob Ross was, died of cancer, but Bob Ross is the happy guy, you know, happy little trees, and he'd start doing all this stuff, and you'd go, what in the world? And then the next thing you know, this beautiful picture starts to emerge. And at the end, you go, how do you do that? The same way that when Clint Clarneau came the two or three times he's come to our church, and he starts talking, and these Bible verses, and he starts drawing these little things with his hands, this paint, and he keeps going, and you're looking at it going, this is like a three-year-old kid doing finger paint. And at the end, as he flips it over, and you see the picture that, see, the master artist, the sculptor, see, he's the one that knows what it should look like, and that's God tonight, today, tomorrow. Same one that yesterday knew as he began the painting what it would look like, and as sometimes we go, what's the point of this black streak? What's the point of this valley? See, he knows. He knows. And we know that Romans 8, 38 and 9, what height nor depth, angels, principalities, nothing, and all of creation can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. So we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he loves us, and I won't lie to you. Lord, I'm doing what I've done. We're ministering to these kids, and we're adopting, and I'm pastoring, and I'm exhausted, and I'm worn out, and God, what? Oh, this, thank you, Lord. This is my vacation? Oh, how nice. Then when he answers the call, but won't bring me coffee in the morning because, oh, we just don't have none. And then when they bring it on my cart, I guess I was the last person in the hospital to get food. So when I didn't have, sometimes it was just a part of something with two little tiny things, and I wonder where the rest of it was. Oh, but they ran out. No kidding. My coffee, cold. What is this? Thankfully, I had someone could go get me coffee. What about, there's people that don't, but see, remember now, God, this is my blessing for doing what you want me to do. I could have done that. I could have said, how dare you, God, why? So this is what you're going to do when I honor you and I glorify you and I serve you and I love you? Oh, okay, wait till I get up out of here and I'll show you what I deserve. Because then I go into the carnal desire of throwing away the obedience of serving the Lord and bring my place to a place of judgment, right? In the midst of now, I can be Jonah and I can sit up under that weed, right? Or I can jump in the boat and go take a little cruise that I deserve, only to never realize at that moment, as we deceive ourselves, that we're headed for a greater storm of innumerable magnitude and ferocity. A storm more ferocious than this could ever dream of being. See, I realized even that Friday night as the doctor came in and told me the results of that MRI, see, I'd already seen God's grace. I'd already experienced the love of God because of what that mass on L5 attached to your spine could have been. You don't know anything about cancers. You don't want cancer on your spine. Friends, that controls everything. That has ramifications that are far-reaching, of great magnitude. And as I reflected before I knew that on how things may change right now, I realized how bad it could be. See, when it came in and he said, no, this is just part of the surgeries you had back in 2000, end of the 2000s, before it hit the 10s. This is when I saw the first picture of God's grace. Knowing that God knew, even the moment that the doctor came in there, and because of me and nursing, he was very honest with me. Not what you want to hear when you're eating some Domino's pizza laying in your bed at the hospital not feeling good. Not the thing you want to hear when you've got a bunch of children to raise and you realize that you're going to be 62 or whatever years old before the youngest one turns 18. It's not what you want to hear, right? That there's this potential. You're going to leave a whole lot of people without a shepherd of the home, much less the body of Christ. at a time when it's very difficult to find pastors that can stay. And Brother Jimmy will tell you, he can get no younger. Nobody is, for that matter. But again, that was the picture in the beginning as I saw this. And those of you who've never experienced Advent, you look at this wreath, it's circular. First, it's green. Why do we see, what is a green? What does that mean in Advent? It's God never dies. He doesn't change. God is not seasonal. He's in a season. No, God is the same. You know what's so neat about the circular picture of what that wreath represents? It represents that he has no beginning and he has no end. He always has been. He is the Alpha and the Omega. There is nothing outside of him. There is nothing apart from him. That's awesome. And as I think about what each attribute and these things that Christ Jesus brought us as New Testament, New Covenant followers of Christ, today we look at hope. Next Sunday, if you're here, you'll look at the peace of God that he brings. Today, this hope that I'm talking about is in the salvation part. Does it mean that we're not going to ever have trials and tribulations? Absolutely not. We are going to. The scripture promises that. But we have the hope today that our life is not only worth living, but our eternity is secure. We have the hope of knowing that not will we just die physically one day, we will not die spiritually and be separated from God when God has merely given us our will if we die lost, not knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what God does. He merely gives man his will when he says, I will serve you how I want to. Me and God have an understanding, or you hear many times, oh, I'm a Christian, I just don't do that church thing. Oh, I love you, God, but I hate your wife. Because the church is the bride of Christ, amen? So when you think beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can go to God and say, listen, I love you to death, but you know, there's a bunch of hypocrites down there, my response would be to you, we got room for one more. Because we're all broken, we're all from the seed of Adam, and that's not good, right? That means we have a sin nature. And if there's one perfect one in here, what you doing here in the first place? We are sinners saved by the grace and mercy, which you don't use that as a license for immorality. You use it as a way to grow in him, to be conformed into his likeness, to flee the desires of the flesh, which are contradictory to the desires of the spirit. And that's what it means to be a follower of Christ. When you fall flat on your face, it's so nice because 1 John 1:9 tells us when we find ourselves at a place like that, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we know that. We know that no one will ever be perfect. You will never find a perfect church. Keith Green said, you can run to the end of the highway, you will not find what you're looking for. You will end up finding yourself at the very end, back at the same place, never finding what you think. And guess what? The pastor said one time, if you said, man, I found a perfect church, don't go there, you'll ruin it. Same with me, amen? Because we're not perfect. We're going to struggle, and we're going to have differences in opinions. We're going to have differences, and everybody's going to be different. God created us different. It would be horrible if everybody was the same. You might not think so, but it would be. It would be really boring to get in a conversation with somebody and have nothing to talk about because all of your likes, all of your dislikes, everything is exactly the same. Woohoo! Let's go talk about what? Everything is the same. It's like waking up in Groundhog Day. You wake up and you have nothing new to do because it's the same old, same old. God gave us all different everythings. Some people like steak. Some people don't like steak. Some people like sushi. Other people don't like sushi. Some people like blah, blah, blah. Some people like travel. All these different things that God created us, and it makes us e pluribus unum, right? Not to steal from the money, our money, but many are one. But we're made one because of Christ Jesus and that gift of salvation. Yeah, God gives you free will. You can tell him to take his hope and go fly a kite. He'll let you do it. Brothers and sisters, the same way that you can send a letter to the IRS if you're a small business owner and tell them you're a sovereign citizen of the United States and that their taxing is criminal. I assure you that will not turn out well for you. I don't care what you think, believe, or whatever you've read. Because one day, the man's going to come around. And when he comes, you're going to find out that you can think one thing, but their reality is probably going to be quite a different one, right? Amen? That's the people that think when I was a police officer that they're out drinking, they can barely stand up. Well, I'm not going to blow. Oh, one of my buddies told me that don't ever blow in one of those things because, man, you're going to be done. Just better not to do it. Implied consent. Guess what? When you get a license and sign the bottom of that, you've already submitted to it. You can say what you can let your friends sitting around with all that old foolishness talk about it all day long. Yeah, they can get blood from you too. You sign permission to do that when you get your license. I would just encourage you to do something. First of all, I wouldn't drink in the first place, but if you do, don't drive. Then you won't have to worry about any of that. Fall in love with Jesus, and guess what? You'll find out you need a whole lot less of the things of the world than you ever dreamed of. You'll find out that there is nothing greater than waking up on a Saturday and feeling your best because you need only Jesus. And when you get up at 6 in the morning, you don't have to go, what'd I do last night? Where's my car? Where's my kids? Where's my wife? Where's my everything? I don't know where it went. You can wake up in the morning and go, thank you, Jesus. I went to bed last night, watched a good movie with the family. We ate a puzzle. They did a puzzle while I was in the hospital. I told them to get me a puzzle. Don't get me a good... I said get I don't remember what I said, but it was something to the effect of get a big puzzle, make it something that's not easy to do. Oh, good gracious. They brought a puzzle, took about 3 weeks to do. I didn't do, listen, I just looked, I think I put about 4 pieces in it. And I said, what in the world was I thinking? After they spent about 3 minutes, well, y'all don't know, my wife is a, you can put Miss Pac-Man or Pac-Man in front of her in a puzzle, and guess what? The rest of the world's gone. She can do some puzzle, and she can do some, hey, whenever she gets on that, I actually realized, finally, she wasn't coming to the hospital to see me. She's coming to do the puzzle. That's why she's laughing. She knows it's true. She said, hey, Mama, here. Don't worry about the puzzle today. Oh, no, I'm keep working. I'm keep on. And this is how the Lord works. Anybody know how many puzzle pieces aren't there at the end? It's missing one. They've got a very warped individual at the puzzle company. And that also shows another spiritual principle, church. You think you're not important to the body of Christ, and you don't need to serve, and I don't need to do this, and I don't need a church, and I don't need a friends, and I don't need a Bible study, or I don't need... That's just like my puzzle at home. It's sitting there, one piece missing from it. It's not complete because God has a purpose and a plan for all of us. And it is the hope of Jesus Christ that gives us the ability to not only experience salvation, to experience the blessing of that, to be able to do what God gives you the ability to do, which is to stand here this morning, because in my flesh, church, I'm sitting at home in my recliner right now because I am completely wiped out. Wiped out physically. I'm physically, I'm mentally, I'm shaking a lot. The stuff has really messed my eyes up because it's toxic to your body, though it's still going to help prevent this thing from coming back and growing. It's messing with my kidneys. It's all of these things happen, but see, it's not in my power are things made perfect. It's in God's power. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. His power is made perfect in weakness. While we boast in our infirmities, our weakness, our persecutions, for when we are weak, he is strong. And this verse I want to share with you quickly this morning, if you have your Bibles, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. One verse this morning I'm going to share with you. And then we're going to have one life application principle. And you can go ahead and physically stand. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Father, speak to our hearts through your word, Father, as only you can do. We give you full and free reign to do what only you alone can do. Let your spirit speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe little analogy is actually a real study they did years ago, and I'm going to paraphrase it for time's sake, but they've actually done this study numerous times, but they took mice and they put them in water. And they put them in water to see how long they would swim before they drown. I know that sounds terrible, and if you're a PETA fan, well, it's just part of learning and teaching. So in many cases, under an hour, but in a lot of the cases, under 10 minutes, the mice were drowned. They had some of them they actually brought back to life. Did CPR, I don't know how you do CPR on a mouse, you know, get them back going, but they did. And then they put them back in the water. Later on, they let them rest. They put them back in. And every few minutes, they would pick it up for a second and put it back down. You know how long some of them lasted? Up to 90 hours. Now, wait a minute. Under an hour, 10 minutes versus 90 hours, what's the difference? Same circumstance, same scenario. The rest was not long enough to allow them to catch their breath, to rest, and actually be able to have energy. No, they literally picked them up and then put them back down in the water. Hope. Hope. Despair will cause you to lose the will to live very fast and give up. This morning, whatever's happening in your life, you don't have to allow to have dominion to rule you. You don't have to do it today. You can allow the master of creation, the God that knows you, the God that's painting the picture that you can't see anything other than a bunch of strokes right now that mean nothing to you, and all in the midst of your battle, your struggle, your depression, your anxiety, your fears, your failures, can look nothing more than a picture that antagonizes you in your own mind. Or you can say, God, I don't understand it, but I know there is no way that this cosmos was birthed on its own. There's no way possible. I realize that. God, the complexity of the human body alone, the eyeball, if you just look at one structure in the human body, it is impossible that one of the structures within the human body could happen by what? Out of the slime. We just crawled out of the slime one day and everything over the last 50 billion. Oh, come on. I might be dumb, but I wasn't. I'm not that dumb. You cannot tell me. We see this extreme differentiation between us and the animal world, and if nothing, alone, the ability to reason. And what else? So many different things. The emotions, all of these different, these in-depth relationships and talking and communication. And well, we came from, well, I've not went to the zoo and seen a monkey. Hey, man, come over here. Give me something to eat, will you? I haven't seen that. We didn't evolve from animals, church. We have an intelligent designer. You can call him whatever he is. He's God. He spoke this into existence, ex nihilo, out of nothing. And I will just promise you one thing. The greater they look and deeper they look into the solar system, what are they finding out? It's much more vast than anybody could have ever imagined. Who are you, O God, that you are mindful of us? We are nothing. We're not even a speck of dust in the cosmos, but yet that God knows us intimately, perfectly, and so much so that even in the brokenness of humans telling him to go take a flying leap in the Garden of Eden, he sent his son Jesus to die for us. This is the picture in Zechariah. We also, all the way back from Genesis, pointing to the Messiah that would come. We see the Israelites in the desert. Remember the snake bites? Raised the snake up. They had to look to him, and he looked to it. All these pictures of Christ throughout the Bible pointing to the Messiah that would come. We couldn't even do an exhaustive. It'd probably take us 2 days to do an exhaustive study today on just the inferences in the Scripture to it if we stayed here 24 hours a day. There's so much as it's pointing to the Messiah, the promised Messiah. It was prophesied. This is another one of those. Remember, this is said long before Jesus came. This is a prophetic utterance. This is sharing what is coming. This morning, the birth of hope. Now, the birth of hope is here. It's forever alive. And as we begin this picture of Advent, it is looking to all that Jesus Christ means to us as Christians. So when we leave today, we don't come in here and go, oh, Brother Jonathan made me feel so good. No, you've actually hopefully learned some conceptual stuff, some concepts from the Bible that have either solidified, possibly challenged, and you've had to reassess your thought process on it. And when you go to God's Word and pray it over, you are going to grow in your walk with Christ and greater conform into His likeness as you're step by step walking that path that is what? The picture, whether it's the puzzle you want to think about or whether you want to think about the masterpiece that God's using you as He paints this picture. And I will assure you of one thing. If this man's picture had been done almost a month ago, church, I would not be here this morning. You don't know how many times as I talk to the Lord in my state of anguish and agony, God, you got me. If you want me, take me. And I meant it with everything in me. There were so many mistakes that God let me catch that if God wanted me, I'd be out of here. See, I'm thankful this morning that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. See, I dare not trust what the sweetest frame, the body, me, but hold lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. First thing I want to share with you, the only point I have this morning is this. Our hope is a true, living, lasting, eternal hope. How many of you, even as a believer at times, have maybe felt that feeling that those first mice have? I had to spiritually battle that for 6 days, like I can tell you, church, I've not in a long time. I didn't question that God had abandoned me, but I was like, God, I cannot live over again. There's only one thing that rose above the agony I was in, and that was when I had meningitis. I would have done any of those surgeries over again and some. And the big long ones that I had were very, very difficult surgeries. But church, it's hard when day after day you feel like something. What are you not saying right? What's going on? Why are you feeling more lonely, more detached, and more withdrawn when you say things to people who are there and should say, oh, yes, that might be an avenue we walk down? Because you know God's bigger, and there's a reason for something. Even if it is someone not doing what they should do, to reiterate the fact that sometimes others can make decisions that fundamentally affect us. Mistakes. Remember the nurse at Vanderbilt? The woman went in to have, if I remember correctly, an MRI. She had claustrophobic, right? She doesn't like small spaces. Well, I'm sorry, but if you've been an MRI machine, if you're claustrophobic, that's just not the place unless you've got some real good medication. So the nurse made a few lapses in judgment, which can happen to any nurse, and she accidentally gave the woman a paralytic versus a relaxant. So the woman, if you can think about what would have happened, she went into the MRI machine unable to breathe, talk, blink, or do anything, but felt everything. And it was about, if I remember correctly, 6 or 7 minutes before they came and realized what had happened. There are choices people make every night on the highways. We see it. To go out and drink and use drugs and do these things, and what happens? Costs sometimes a whole van load, mother, father, and children, their lives, because someone else chose to make a decision that fundamentally affected and changed that person's life in the course of history for their family. Does that mean that God was absent, that God had abdicated his position of protecting us? Because isn't he our rock, our fortress, our strong tower, our deliverer, our protector, our everything? Isn't he? He is. But many times God allows things in the painting of the puzzle, or putting together the puzzle, or the painting of the picture, that have far-reaching implications that can do much greater work for the kingdom through the tragedy, heartache, and hurt that we see right now and perceive as this thing that happened that God could have stopped but didn't stop. See, as a Christian, my question to you is, you go, oh man, I'm so glad you made it through this. You know, you were fortunate. Huh? I know God has work for me. What do you mean you're fortunate you made it through it? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What are you talking about? I know God has more work for me, that's why I'm here. See, I'd be rejoicing right now. I'd be sitting in glory. I wouldn't be dealing with this and all that it's doing to this and these. Do you have an eternal mind frame, an eternal perspective? Are you ready? Are you dying to live or are you living to die? Church, I want to tell you this morning, I'm living to die. The day that I breathe my dying breath, I have won. What do you mean you've won? Because I will be freed from the brokenness of all that sin has stained. And God is going to take me from salvation's occurred, sanctification I'm in right now, and I will go from sanctification to glorification in the presence of the Lord where there'll be no more tears, no more heartache, no more night. The old order of things will have passed away and all things will be new. Are you longing for that? What is your hope this morning built on? What is your desire? Is your fear of death not allowing you to live because you're so scared that one day you're going to die that you're not even able to focus on anything else but that? You need to talk to somebody, because death is life for Christians. Death is something that is embraced as a follower of Christ one day, not fatalistically. You don't go out to a cliff and go, man, if it's my time, I'm going to die. Next phase you see is God's going, I didn't put that thing between your shoulders as a counterbalance. How foolish. It's foolish. No, you take care of the temple. You do the best that you can with what God. You don't go running through stop signs and stoplights and go, if it's my time, I'm going. No, that's foolishness. Amen? You live faithfully. You take care of the temple that God's given you. You glorify Him. You honor Him. You try to do everything that God desires you to do. You walk through the doors He opens. You don't walk through the ones He doesn't open. You talk to the people that God puts in front of you. And when you say, hey, how you doing today? And the person goes, oh, I'm great. You can go, I'm not getting into that today. Or you can go, hey, you okay? No, not really. What's up? Well, my wife just left me. My husband just left me. I'm depressed. I don't know. I'm so miserable. I'm broken in addiction. I'm whatever. We make those choices, church. We can share that hope. We can be the light. We can be the lighthouse, or we can be complacent. We can be apathetic. We can be indifferent. I talked to countless people at the hospital there about the Lord, and on Sundays especially, I'd say, man, I bet you hate missing church today. How many of you think said, yeah, man, oh. Others like, well, I just work every Sunday. You know, it's just part of it. Well, you can tune in online if you'd like to. Here you go, right down our website. Use them as opportunities. Even in the midst of that, it'd be really easy to just completely disattach and not have those conversations. We miss opportunities, church. When you're not feeling good right now and you have that opportunity, that door opens. Are you going to walk through it? Are you going to be obedient? Are you going to share the hope? Are you going to be in season, what, green all the time? Recognizing that your walk with Christ is an eternal one, you'll continue. Are you going to share the hope, the peace, the joy, the love in Christ? Or are you going to hide it under a bushel? Because that's not God's desire for us this morning. This morning, His desire is for us to be the church. Be the church, not be a church. If we're just a church, we'll be no church one day. All of these houses that are getting ready to be built all around here and will continue to be, as God expands the mission field, as He prepared this building and property for Longview starting in March, if I remember correctly, of 2008. We could get right to the doorway of an expansive ministry that could end up resulting in us planting churches all over either the community or the country or world for that matter, sending out missionaries, whatever God would want to do. Or we can run right at the doorway and then go, not going to do it. I don't like crossing thresholds. And our obedience versus our disobedience is going to determine what we do and don't do. And by the way, what your children and your grandchildren do or don't do. Do you think Europe doesn't have churches right now only in museum form because those people were faithful with the good word entrusted to them? I think not. Europe is like it is right now because people became complacent, apathetic. They became indifferent. They became so wise in their own minds, amen? They did not see it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, as Romans chapter 1 says, so He gave them over to a depraved mind. I know one thing, Muslims hadn't given up their desire to reach people. We can be complacent and apathetic. Somebody will fill the void. But could you imagine a godless eternity for the generations that come after us because of what we didn't do? Can you imagine one day as you're an old person, I'm learning, the older you get, the less energy you have, and I can really see my parents. And there comes a point in time where you lose a lot of steam. Can you imagine one day with no steam watching your apathy, indifference, and unconcern with your children play out in front of you, or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, and recognize, oh, I'd do anything to go back and solidify my passion, my love for Christ, to be involved and to show them how much the good news of the gospel means to me. I'd do anything to, see, you're talking in past tense. I'd do anything. I don't want to live a life of regret based in what could have been. I want a life based, as I live out my testimony right now and I write my obituary with the life that I live right now. You can do the same this morning. Maybe you're a person right now that's been operating in all of these other things I'm talking about that have been contradictory to the Lord, contradictory to living out hope, contradictory to being obedient, to doing what we're supposed to do, and you can do this today. You can say, enough of this. I do not want to live complacent, apathetic. I don't want to, with a hangnail, one Thursday night go into a hospital, and the next day, with a red streak going all the way up your arm, knowing that you've got lymphatic streaking, which means it's getting into your system and this is not good. You don't want to go into the hospital and then as you lay there, realize that you're not going to come out. And then start to reflect and think of all that could have been, should have been, would have been, but wasn't. And now there's no way as you sit there, oh God, give me another chance and I'll do the right thing. No more. You don't want to lay in your bed one night. As everything flashes before you, and you begin to think about what you're leaving and all these things that you were going to do and should have done, and we're going to get to it, remember? Because once we retire, they'll have all the time to do all that church stuff. So you're assuming it'll happen. Brothers and sisters, my question to you this morning is, where's your heart? What's your passion? Because don't forget this. You can lie to me or everybody else, but God knows your heart. God knows if that hope you speak with your mouth is a true lived hope in your heart. God knows. So my encouragement this morning is to get honest in the presence of the King of Kings. And by the way, get honest in the presence of your brother or sister that you're going to use as an accountability partner to say, man, I'm not doing good. You say that to me, I'm not going to think anything worse of you at all. I'm actually going to love you for being man or woman enough to say what needed to be said so we can walk with you and bring you to the place of knowledge and growth and repentance or whatever it might take to bring you to that place of obedience. That's why we're here. We're not here to play games, because games 2 weeks ago when I'm sitting in the hospital gets you nothing. Zero. You know what your puzzle looks like? Nothing. Because you're missing. You know what your painting looks like? Nothing, because one of the vibrant strokes of that was meant for you, and the effect that it has on everybody else cannot be measured, you won't know, on this side of eternity. But that's why it's important. What young boy or young girl right now has God got set up in the future with the choice you make today, because you embrace the hope of Christ through this first Advent service, that today you make a rededication to life, you give your life to Christ, or whatever happens this morning, and some little boy or girl that maybe hadn't even been conceived yet or as a young child, God is going to intersect your lives at a perfect time in history so you share what God's done in your life and they profess faith in Jesus and come to saving faith in Jesus Christ and end up being the next world-changing missionary or evangelist like Billy Graham. Don't think it can happen? You don't know my God. But I'll tell you what, I think if we walk off into eternity having not done it, we will know what could have been but wasn't. This morning, take captive what you can take hold of, and that is now. You might have messed up really bad. I don't care if you have a whole rearview mirror that looks like one of those pileups in the wintertime out in one of those states out west. When you get 300 cars piled up, you might say, there's no way. Yes, there is. You know why? Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. You know what the other one is? Just as I am without one plea, that my God was shed for me. And just as I am. You know, God wants you just as you are. Doesn't matter how big the mess is. The only thing it requires you to just get honest with God. I want to tell you something. The first 6 days I was at the hospital, I cried probably 10 times a day. I'm emotional when I talk. I endure pain. Y'all don't even know. Every time you see me, I'm in pain. Don't ever ask me about it. How's your pain? I don't like that because I don't live and focus on pain. But I cried about 10 times a day. I hurt so horribly, the only emotion I could get out was at times uncontrollably crying because it hurt so bad. There was no, you can go on and do it. You wait till you experience it. You can sit there and go, oh, he's just a big old child. You call me what you will. I challenge you to do half of my finger with what I dealt with and see what it does to you. But in that, God just helped me realize that he is ever faithful. He is ever on the throne. And as my human mind was saying today, I just need to wait to come back. And how can I make it through the day? And, you know, we wanted to see John because he had gotten off a deployment. We haven't seen him in a year. And it was after I just got out of the hospital, you know, we head up there for a few days and I'm exhausted. And you want to just excuse away, but no. This is the ministry that God's placed me in, and he can do Ephesians 3:20, unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And church, I want you real. And I say this for every one of you. I don't want you coming in here playing a game. You get nothing for it. You get nothing. You're wasting your time if you're playing a game in here. Get honest. Get honest with each other wherever you're at. Get honest with your condition right now. Because what that'll do is open a floodgate of God's ability to change your heart, your wants, your wills, your desires. He'll change them. You just have to want it. Even if today you go, God, I don't know. I just don't even know what, why, when, where, how. I'm going to give you another song. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. See, that's true. That's real. That's going to extend long after these bodies have laid in the ground. That's going to go on long after your husband, your wife, your friends, neighbors, and all those people that you have called friends and neighbors and loved ones, and one betrays you, people hurt you. So I'm not here this morning because I know I owe it to you. I'd like to say that, but I want to tell you what's the most important. I'm here this morning because I owe it to him. See, he's my king. He's my sustainer. He's my rock. He is my strong tower. He is my everything. And all he did is reiterated that height nor depth, angels, principalities, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, I reflected volumes on when I did this in 2007 and the horror that year was with meningitis. It was awful. The only thing that surpassed what I dealt with in the last 3 weeks, the only thing. And God was faithful then, and I know now he'll be faithful through this. And I know as he's done this morning, he's given me the strength to do this. I don't feel my blood pressure up right now because I would if it was. And I know that God is going to sustain me in your prayers. Again, I covet them. My question, though, I leave with this before the invitation. Where are you? Where are you? Where's your heart? Where's your passion? Where's your desire? Where are you when you go to the hospital and it's you? It's just a matter of time, I promise you. What are you going to do? When God lets you reflect on a time like now, when somebody who's gone through it, let him come in here and lay his emotions bare in front of you, if you walk out of here and, I almost wrong with him like a little child in there, you just go and say it. Won't hurt my feelings at all, I promise you. A girl mocked me in the emergency room openly and loudly about how she could tolerate pain so much. And, oh yeah, I knew she was talking to me because I'm over there with a finger that she doesn't even have a clue. She's thinking this guy's got a paper cut and he's howling like a 2-year-old child. And I wasn't howling. I was over there doubled over with my hand behind my head at times and a bunch of different things just trying to battle every moment until those hours passed that I could get in the emergency room. See, that's the thing at the end of today for you is you can sit here and not do what God wants to do, or you can say, today is the day of either salvation if you don't know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, or whether your house is not in order spiritually, and you realize there's some closets that God needs to get in, some rooms that you haven't let him in because you want him in. This week alone, somebody fell out of a tree stand and died. All these things happen in our communities all around this church. You think you or I are immune from it? Really? Not. We're promised nothing but the gift of salvation through Christ Jesus and eternity in his presence if you're a follower of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.